So probably not going to get into a new series, so to speak, probably till, well, maybe September 7th. Sounds like a good Sunday to do that. So for the next couple weeks, we'll just be kind of jumping around here and there. So the question, or the title this morning is Winning the Daily Battles. So some days we wake up and it seems like just getting out of bed is a battle, right? I mean, it's like it's been our bones ache, our muscles hurt, we're just tired from the activities of the day before, whatever the case may be. Just getting out of bed seems like a win. Man, I was able to get out of bed this morning. I won the day, so to speak. But then there are those other battles that just seem to confront us each day, whether they are physical battles, relational battles, as I said, things with our health, finances, any number of things that seem to come at us. One of the metaphors, the term battles is one of those metaphors that we see oftentimes over and over again in the Bible, or even talk about it in the Christian life. The Bible says this about it, and this is not our text this morning, but it says this in Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Not too long ago, we did a whole sermon series on spiritual warfare. This is not what I want to talk about this morning, but anyway, of course, this is talking about those daily battles that we fight in life. I've already outlined what some of them are, and for each of us, they're probably different. If you have a young child like I do, your battles are different than those that don't. But if you have had young children in the past, you know what those battles are like. And like I said, for each of us, they are a little bit different. Now, I suspect that either you are fighting battles daily, you have fought battles daily, or you will be fighting battles daily. It just kind of comes with human nature. It comes with living in a fallen and sin-filled world, right? We can't really avoid them. If you're like me, there are times in your life where you have felt like, wow, I've done pretty good at winning these battles. And then there are other times in your life where you feel like, man, I just can't seem to catch a break, and I can't seem to win a battle for nothing. The enemy just keeps winning. Well, this morning I want to give you the recipe for winning those daily battles. Now, this is not my recipe. This is a recipe that we're going to take out of a chunk of scripture. In the Old Testament, we find that Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, got word from a friend that three enemy nations were coming against to fight him. Three enemy nations coming against one. So the odds were already not in his favor. They weren't good. It's never good when it's three against one, right? I mean, think about it. Even if it's three kids against one, you know, usually the one with three has the upper hand. And the Bible tells us that the nations were the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Mennonites. So I want to take a look at this story this morning and this battle that Jehoshaphat was about to engage in, and see some principles that we can take in fighting our own daily battles. And it starts out, it says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "Now it came about after this, that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon together and the sons of the Mennonites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea.'" That was in verse 1 and 2. God put the story of Jehoshaphat in the Bible, I believe, in order to illustrate to us certain spiritual principles in winning the battles of life. And the first principle, that I want to talk about is identifying our adversary, identifying our enemy, identifying who we are actually going to battle with or what it is that we are doing battle with. Sometimes it's not even a person, it's just a circumstance, right? So identifying the enemy. Verse 1 shows that the first principle is overcoming the battles and identifying the enemy. This seems like a rather obvious principle. In this case, it was a rather obvious principle because the friends came and said to him, here are your enemies. Here is who you are going to do battle against. This is who is coming after you. But it's not always obvious to us who our enemy or who our adversary is. And what do I mean by that? Oftentimes I have found that when people are either depressed in life, are either angry in life, have mistrust issues in life, it's always rooted in something deeper. It always comes from a circumstance that happened to them earlier in life. Something happened a while ago, and now they are bitter because of it. They're angry because of it. They're depressed because of it. They don't trust anybody else because of it. And this becomes their battle. And they're battling against something they don't even realize what the enemy is. And what the enemy could very well be is a circumstance that happened long ago in life. Lori and I were just having this conversation a couple of days ago. Her dad obviously passed away in January. And she's been just on edge, a little uptight about some things. And as we talk about it, she finally just said to me, she goes, you know what, I think I just miss my dad. And so she was, it appeared though she was battling this and battling that and battling that. And really what she was battling against is this whole idea of the passing of her father. So until she understood exactly what her battle was, it's really hard to know how to fight, to know what to do. And I see that so often in times in life that people are fighting battles and they really don't even know what it stems from. Jehoshaphat was fortunate enough that he understood, that he knew, because people told him, point out. But for us, it's really important that we find out what is at the root of what really has us so frustrated, so angry, so disappointed. So we have to understand who are fighting against. The second principle that I think is really important is that we are not driven by emotion. Do not be driven by emotion. Of course, Jehoshaphat was afraid. Who wouldn't be afraid, right? When it's 3-1, you would be afraid. He had every right to be. It's a human emotion. Fear is a very natural human emotion, and he was afraid and he was fearful, like any of us would be. That would be a typical emotion of any one of us that was in his situation. But it's super important that we don't let our emotion take control of who we are. And yet we see it over and over and over again. We hear it that, man, so-and-so is such a nice person, but all of a sudden they have anger issues. And all of a sudden they can just, because they react or they overreact out of a certain emotion. Some people do that, and we know people probably that do that. They act out of emotion. Something happens in life and they respond immediately. You know, that's why they say when you face a tragedy in life that you shouldn't make any major decisions for a while, because it's not good to react out of emotion, to let our emotions take control of us. Because we get mad, we get angry, we get furious. And all of a sudden, if somebody's standing in our way, they're in a lot of trouble because we respond out of emotion. You can become a casualty of their emotional explosion. A lot of casualties take place, and I'm not talking about death necessarily, but broken relationships take place because somebody responds out of emotion. But look what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says in James 1:19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be what? Quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. When we respond out of an emotion, we react in fear, we react in anger, those types of things do not achieve the righteousness of God. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of a sound of love and of a sound mind. When these things happen to us, rather than respond out of fear, respond out of emotion, we have to respond out of a sound mind. All of us are emotional beings. We are. We feel emotions of all sorts. We're happy, we're sad, we're scared, we're excited, all of those things. We have joy. That's the way God created us. But don't let your emotions get the better of you. So number one, we have to understand who our enemy is. We have to understand who it is that we are battling against. And number two, we must not respond out of emotions. And number three, you have to take your problems to the Lord. Now this might seem pretty obvious, but let's look at these at verse 3. Again, it says, Jehoshaphat feared. So in verse 3, it tells us that he was afraid. And then it says, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So he identified the enemy. He quickly had this emotion of fear, but he didn't immediately respond. The first thing he did when he was overcome with that fear is he took the problem to the Lord. Took the problem to the Lord. It says he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. When Jehoshaphat learned that three nations were coming against him, he was afraid, but instantly set himself to look to the Lord. The third principle in winning these battles of life is to take your problems to the Lord. Prayer ought to be the first weapon, the very first weapon that we choose or that we use. And I fear that sometimes prayer is a last resort for us sometimes. We identify our enemy and we have this emotion and then we start this whole process of trying to win, trying to overcome it, in trying to think of solutions, in problem-solving our own mind. And then all of a sudden, after a day goes by, or after a week goes by, and we're losing this battle, finally we say, you know what? Maybe I ought to just take some time to pray about it. No, that's the first thing that we need to do. That's the first thing that we need to do. Take our problems to the Lord. Jehoshaphat prayed. You know what he said? In effect, God, I know that you have helped me in the past. I know you can help me in the future. So please help me in the present. Please help me now. Please take care of our enemies. For we have no power to face the vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, is what the text says, if you want to read down further. So what message are we sending to God when we immediately turn to him when we face a battle? What the message that we are sending to God is we understand that you are all-powerful, and that you have the ability to take care of this, and I don't. The message that we send to God when we start fighting this battle under our own power and we don't take the prayer is saying, you know what, Lord? I can do this on my own. That I have the power to do this on my own, that I don't need you. That I can take care of this battle on my own. And I'm here to tell you, we can't do it. But that's the message we send to God. I got this, God. I don't need you. Jehoshaphat took the opposite approach. He said, Lord, I have three enemy nations coming against me. and I am afraid, and I don't have the power to fight them. I am seeking you, Lord, because I know what you've done for me in the past, and I know you can do it for me again. So he's leaning on his past experiences and the provisions that God has shown him in the past. And he's leaning on the power that was revealed to him by God in the past and saying, I know what you did, and I know that you will do it again. It becomes a real problem for us when we become so prideful to think that we can win these battles on our own. Pride, it says in the scripture, comes before the fall. Swallow your pride. Admit to God, I can't do this, Lord. This battle is way too hard for me. My enemy is way too powerful for me. Lord, I can't do this. I'm bringing it to you. Take care of this for me. Number four kind of falls, the fourth principle kind of falls in line with the third principle, and that is the admission that we need help. If we are to win the daily battles in life, we have to admit that we need help. And Jehoshaphat did that when he said, we are powerless before this. This is what he said in verse 12. We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat basically said, look, Lord, we have no power. We have no power against our enemy. We can't do it. There's a great multitude, and we can't do it. Not only can't we do it, we don't even know what to do. It's so overwhelming. The odds are so overwhelmingly against us that we don't even know where to start. We don't even know what to do. Have you ever felt that way when you receive the news of whatever it is? That overwhelming news of like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know how to respond. What are we going to do? My suggestion is admitting to the Lord that you need help. Admitting to the Lord that you don't know what to do, and to seek his power. We need to say, Lord, I've got a problem. Lord, I need your help. There's only one kind of person that God doesn't help, and that's the person who doesn't think he needs help. When you say, Lord, I've got a problem, I need help, I admit my inadequacy, he can work with that. And together, you can work on that with God. The Christian life is a supernatural life, and we need God's power to live it. We can't live it on our own because we have a shortage of power. We have a shortage of power. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how powerful you think you are, when it comes to certain battles in life, you simply lack the power. You have a power shortage. God is willing to help, but if we are too proud to ask for it, he might not always help us. As I said just a moment ago, it's in James 4:6. God is opposed to the proud. That's what it says in Scripture in James. It says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And then number five, we need to rely on God's power. How frustrating is it when somebody comes and asks your advice on something? Because they know you're an expert in it. And then you give them your advice and then they don't take it. Like, what is the best pair of boots I can buy for hunting? What is the best this? What is the best that? What should I do here? And you tell them, and then they go out and do completely the opposite. And I fear sometimes we do that with God. We say, Lord, I need help. And the Lord says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And we say, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. Did you notice that after Jehoshaphat admitted, Lord, I don't know what to do, he added, but our eyes are on you. our eyes are on you. We need to get our eyes on the Lord, and we need to keep them there. We don't need just to look up for a moment. We need to look up and keep our eyes there. Too often we look up for a moment, and then our eyes quickly look to something else or to someone else or to everything else, on everything except the one who can solve our problems. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, we can stay on the top of our circumstances. And then the sixth point I want to make this morning is is to relax in the faith. To relax in the faith, or be at peace in faith. Probably one of the hardest things there is to do in the middle of a battle is to try and remain at peace. Right? Notice how God responded to Jehoshaphat's prayer in verse 15, if you're following along. It says this: "Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude." I love this. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." If we truly believed that, think about how much more at peace that we would be in our lives. If we truly took God at his word, if we truly believed that this is not my battle to fight, this is God's battle to fight on my behalf. If we truly believed that the one who is all-knowing, who is all-powerful, who is all-present, would take care of this for us, how much more at peace we would be. For the battle is not yours, but God's. We need to be at rest and at peace. So many Christians today are totally worn out because they're trying to fight God's battle in their own power. We are trying to fight battles that belong to the Lord, and we're trying to fight them on our own or under our own power. When we first become Christians, we tend to think, "God, you don't know what a deal you got when you got me. I'm going to bring your kingdom in single-handedly. Lord, I am so on fire. I'm a new Christian. I'm going to go out and I'm just going to bring people into the kingdom, one after another. I'll go out and I'll win the world. I am so ready to help. I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to everybody that I know, everybody that I come in contact with, and tell them about you, Lord. And they're just going to follow right behind. And man, the doors off the church are just going to explode." We have that mentality when we first become a Christian. So we work really, really hard. But eventually we come crawling back on our hands and knees and say, "Wow, Lord, I've really disappointed you. I'm sorry. Lord, I've really let you down." Have you ever said that to the Lord? "Lord, I'm sorry, I have really let you down." Here's the interesting thing about that. God replies, "You haven't let me down because you have never been holding me up. You can't let me down. You've never held me up. I'm the one holding you up." How many of you heard that saying that God helps those who help themselves? Can I just tell you, I hate that saying. I hate that saying. Because the truth of the matter is, God helps those who cannot help themselves. God helps those who do not have the capacity to help themselves. Now listen, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try. I'm not suggesting that God does not have certain expectations for us. and that we shouldn't try to do the right thing and to make the right choices and to move in the right direction and seek God's will and do all those things, because we should. We should pray. We should seek God's will. We should make the right choices. We should try to stay out of sin, and we should try and do all those things. I'm not suggesting that we should. But at the end of the day, there are just certain things that we can't do. And God will help us. He helps those who help themselves, and he helps those who can't help themselves. We should realize that without God's power, we have no power at all. Jesus said it this way in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, we can do nothing. Scripture makes it pretty clear, I think. God wants us to relax and have peace and let him work through us. And Paul said this, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. I'll skip through to the seventh point, the seventh principle. And that is to thank God in advance. The seventh principle in conquering life's battles is to thank God in advance for giving you the victory. The story of Jehoshaphat is fascinating because the way in which the battle was won. After he consulted the people, he appointed men. This is the way he fought the battle, if you're reading along. He consulted the people. He appointed men to sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. To praise God for his loving kindness. At the onset of the battle, he's like, men, I want you to sing praises to the Lord. Now get the picture of what's going on here. There are these two mountains and a valley in between. The battle is going to take place in the valley. Three enemy nations over here. Jehoshaphat and his army here. In a valley in between. They're going to come down off the mountains, and the battle is going to take place in the valley. On one mountain, as I said, is the three enemy armies waiting to devastate the Jews. On the other mountain are the Jews led by Jehoshaphat. And he tells his people, here is God's battle plan. All those who can sing in the choir, I want you in the front. All those who can sing in the choir, I want you in the front. Not the strongest, not the mightiest, not the most accurate, but those who can sing the best, I want you in the front. I want you to lead the battle line. So what do? They go marching to battle with the choir in the front of the army, singing praises to God, who would fight a battle like that. Who on earth would fight a battle like that? The only one who would fight a battle like that is the one who is listening to the Lord. Who wouldn't put their best soldiers up front? Who wouldn't put their strongest men up front? But that was not God's plan. He wanted the choir out front. Now, if you came to me and said, I got a battle to fight, how should I do it? And I said, well, you need to put your strongest men up front. That's probably what you would do. If I said, you need to put those that can sing the best up front, you would probably put the strongest men up front. You'd say, you're crazy, right? You lost your mind. It's not what I'm going to do. That's what Jehoshaphat should have done, right? In his humanness, he said, should have said, Lord, you're crazy. I'm not putting those who can sing the best. I'm putting the strongest on the front. But Jehoshaphat was smart enough. He said, look, if I'm going to acknowledge that I'm not strong enough, and if I'm going to acknowledge that I don't have the power, if I'm going to acknowledge that I don't have the wisdom, and I'm going to go to the Lord and ask for help, then I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And that's exactly what he did. And here is the final outcome of the battle. The Bible says, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were there 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. 2 Chronicles 20:25 says this: when God wins the battle, there is always a bountiful blessing. When God wins the battle, there is always a bountiful blessing. Look, when those battles come our way, we need to identify who our enemy is. And we need to immediately look to the Lord and not respond out of fear. We need to seek the counsel of the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And then, by all means, when he gives you direction on what to do, take it. Take the approach of a person of humility and not one of pride. As we can see here, that sometimes God wins battles in the most unorthodox ways, in the ways that we would never have imagined. But as I said during our offering, God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He can win the battle against three nations by putting the choir up front. Think how much more he can do for our lives if we are willing to submit our battles, acknowledge that the battle is his to fight, and then take and follow the instruction from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the story of Jehoshaphat and the battle that he fought against these three enemy nations in 2 Chronicles. And Lord, we thank you for the principles that we get, Lord, of this text. Lord, we thank you for the reminder this morning that we simply aren't strong enough, that we simply aren't smart enough. Thank you for the reminder this morning, Lord, that the battle belongs to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the reminder this morning that you help those who help themselves, but you also help those who cannot help themselves. And Lord, oftentimes we lack the capacity to help ourselves. And Lord, we give you thanks that you go before us, that you fight our enemies for us, and that you empower us through your Spirit to engage in the battles of life. But most importantly, Lord, that we can do it with a spirit of peace, because your word tells us that you did not give us a spirit of fear.